Peace to all of you, my sons and daughters. Sons and daughters! Grandsons! Great-grandsons! Great-granddaughters! Oh, it is just as the Lord had said. The night he called me out and told me to look up, and I would have descendants numerous as the stars. Not bad for a man who got such a late start in life.
A late start? You were, what, 99 years old when the Lord came down and appeared to you and said you'd have me a few months later? If I recall correctly, you were 100, and Mom was 90 when I was born.
Yes, we were no spring chickens, as they say. How many of you grandparents out there have looked after a toddler lately? Well, just imagine doing it at 102! Oh, but Isaac, you were a blessing. To think at our late age we should be blessed with such a healthy son.
But remember, you did have a son before me.
Ah, yes, yes, Ishmael.
But I was the son of promise.
Yes, yes, you were. And we were blessed with Ishmael, but yes, you were the son of promise. Ishmael was born of my blood, of my will, of my effort.
Let's see. You were trying to help God out.
In my humanness, yes, my faithless eyes, I was trying to fulfill God's promises through my efforts, my will, my striving. Oh.
Oh, but it all worked out in the end, didn't it?
True, true. Yes, it all happened that night when the Lord called me out of my tent and told me to come and gaze upon the stars and then to start counting them. I gave up after a while. But he said, so shall your descendants be. And then, I got it. I understood. All my striving, all my trying to make God's promises happen was for nothing. I trusted and believed in him at that moment. And he said that my trust and belief made me righteous.
What does that mean, Father, that you're righteous? You've told me about a lot of times, a lot of stories about how you didn't act righteous.
Oh, I did not always do the right thing, my son. Oh, no, many times. But I realized that all my striving, all of them fell short of the glory of God. And then I stopped working at it.
You stopped working at it?
Yes, yes.
No way.
I stopped working. I simply believed the Lord and entrusted in his promise. And then I realized that the God that I thought of was a much better God than I could possibly imagine. The Lord called me righteous. And if the Lord calls you righteous, who am I to argue with the Lord?
You know, I think I get it, Father. God provides as a gift.
Yes, yes.
It's like that day with the ram.
Oh, what a terrible day that was.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up again. I know it's a painful memory.
Painful? Oh, painful. You cannot imagine the pain I went through. When the Lord called me and he said, take your son, your precious son, the one of promise, and take him to the mountain and sacrifice him. Oh, the pain, the torture, the agony. To think you, my son, would be sacrificed like some pagan. How could God, who has promised me so much, had been so good to me, how could he ask this of me? I thought, was he a man that he could promise something and take it back? Oh, how could the Lord demand this of me? Oh.
You know, I gotta say, Father, I wasn't quite so philosophical when you tied me up on that wood and laid me down. I was kind of scared and upset, and a little bit angry, too. I failed to see God's plan in all of it.
Oh, so did I, Isaac, so did I. But I went through with it.
Why? What made you so sure?
Oh, Isaac, I wasn't sure. But I had faith. When you are sure of something, you trust in what you know. But when you have faith, you trust in who you know.
And you knew the Lord.
Ah, yes. Yes, I knew the Lord. And I knew that, as sinful as I am, if I could give up my very best, my joy, my crown, if I could do that, then the Lord may someday give up his very best for a sacrifice for us all. And it was then that I understood, I realized that God would provide. And that's when it happened. At the very last moment, the angel called to me and said, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on him."
And then a ram suddenly showed up in the thicket. Its horns caught.
How convenient. You know, Isaac, God has a perfect sense of...
Timing.
You always make me laugh. Oh, yes. The Lord is very rarely early, but he is always on time. He was at the right time. He had called to me to have the ram be the substitute in your position, to die in your place. And at the right time, he will provide another substitute, a greater substitute for us all. Do you remember what Eve, our mother, had said? The promise that God gave to her? That he would put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers.
He shall crush your head, but you shall bruise his heel.
And he shall bruise your head. You know, Isaac, that offspring shall come, and his coming shall somehow mean a fatal blow. Bruise the head of the serpent.
Ouch. Do you think that it could be, say, God's only son, maybe?
His best, his most prized possession.
Like me, you know, when you were about to, you know, do that stuff on the mountain.
Yes, Isaac, that would be a dark day indeed. But remember, just like that day in the garden with Eve and Adam when they ate the fruit.
Or on the mountain when it could have been me who died.
The darkest hour will bring forth the greatest promise. God will provide salvation. He always does. He always does. He always does.
The darkest hour will bring forth the brightest promise. The story of Abraham and Isaac is another reminder that God keeps his promises, especially that promise that he made in the garden about the seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head. As a child of the promise, it was through Isaac that God promised this seed, this Messiah. And yet there he was on Mount Moriah, tied, bound, and prepared for death. As we heard, Abraham didn't know what God had planned through this situation, but he trusted in the Lord. Hebrews 11 said that Abraham believed that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead. And ultimately, that's what he does. Our Father in heaven spared the life of Abraham's son, but our Father in heaven sent his son, his only son, to be our substitute, to die in our place. On that mountain, Isaac was bound. And as Isaac was bound, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham, and he stopped his hand, and the Lord provided a ram caught in the thicket as a substitutionary sacrifice. Years later, another sacrifice would be bound. Do you know, by the way, that there are only two bound sacrifices in the Bible? We see it here in Genesis 22, and we see it on Golgotha, Calvary, as Jesus is bound and becomes our vicarious atonement, our substitutionary sacrifice for our sins and our victory over death and the devil. I'm reminded of that great hymn tonight as we think about this message that we've received, that great hymn, "How Great Thou Art," and those words. And when I think that God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. But on the cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. The story of Abraham and Isaac isn't about God testing Abraham, at least not primarily about that. It's another part of this redemption story, this gospel story, this story of God saving his people. It's about Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The ram caught in the thicket is pointing us to Jesus, the Lamb of God who died in our place, the only Son of God who died in our place so that we might live, so that we might be brought from death into life. For he is our resurrection and our life. We're told that Abraham called that place there, Mount Moriah, that he called that place Yahweh Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh, as you might hear it, meaning the Lord will provide. And the Lord provided. Not on Mount Moriah alone, but that mountain was a glimpse of the real mountain, the real provision, as the Lord provided the ultimate sacrifice for your sins and for mine on a cross. Stricken, smitten, afflicted, so that you and I might live. The darkest hours bring forth the brightest promise. Amen. At this time, we'll give our offering back to the Lord.